Peace, this is Atan Thomas, and you're listening to WPFW Washington, your station for jazz and justice.
Washington.
How are we doing?
Okay. It's
still like in the high of like the Pride weekend, which we're very excited to be talking about and recapping today. So really excited about that.
Very deep and a lot to recap, definitely. And for those who don't know us, this is Inside Out Radio. Inside Out Radio illuminates and celebrates the rich diversity that is the LGBTQIA plus experience. Our groundbreaking show has aired since 2008 and is DC's only show of its kind on the FM dial and one of only a handful in the country. As the name implies, we take you inside this community to look at everything from pop culture to politics through an LGBTQIA inclusive lens. We're also proud to be a part of the legacy of cutting edge public affairs programming on WPFW, the home of Jazz and Justice Radio. Inside Out airs every Monday at 6 p.m. on 89.3 FM and WPFWFM.org. You can listen to us online if you're at work and don't have the radio there, or you can also listen to us on the podcast download right after on iTunes. Feel free to give us a call, say hello, tell us how your Pride was if you ended up going, or if you have questions for Bianca and I, or even other co-hosts that you will listen to each Monday at 6 p.m. You can give us a call at 202 So let's jump on it. Pride 2024. How you feeling about it?
I'm feeling great. I mean, I think we have a really good diverse programming, a variety of certainly a lot of activities, both learnings and networking. So I'm exhausted. It's a lot, but I think it was really nice that we're able to just continue to celebrate and really create a space for us to be together. So I'm excited about hearing, you know, what you've been up to. We were all kind of all over the place, you know, starting in May. So, you know, I think it would be great to kind of share both of our activities and engagement that we've had to our listeners.
Yes, in moderation, of course. But yeah, so Trans Pride, the last time we were here, it was the week of Trans Pride, and it definitely was. That was in May, which it's so wild that it's already been a month or so, because May is a longer month. But that went amazingly with all of the feedback that you and I definitely got at the booth yesterday. At the festival, you know, so many people came up thanking everyone for the wonderful learning modules, the programs, the award ceremony, and, you know, just the overall educational services that, you know, Trans Pride DC does provide for folks that are allies and everything else under the sun, of course. So definitely another wonderful job, Bianca, for, you know, spearheading that stuff. Oh, it's all of us. But, you know, I always said you're the Professor X of the X-Men type, you know, where you got us all together to do this. So, you know, we're all different flavors, but we come together. And, you know, it was really nice, you know, the education and, you know, having all of that knowledge be given to folks that necessarily did not know where to go. And it was pretty awesome for people to pass by yesterday and ask, you know, well, where can I get knowledge? Where can I? And I was like, oh, well, you're at the right place. You just, you know, missed us a few weeks, you know?
Yeah, it was definitely a refreshing experience to kind of be on the other side of all of the events that are happening. As you said, we and a handful of members of our community organized Trans Pride, and, you know, the way our mindset was organizing Trans Pride is like, we're the ones that's like in the logistics, we're the behind the scenes. So it was a really cool experience to just be on the other side of that, where we're participating as, you know, vendors, as exhibitor at the DC Pride Festival. And to your point, you know, hearing from members of our community who were at our event back in May and sharing their experiences, and then sharing this organization that we have to folks who are not very familiar with Trans Pride, and learning about it and getting excited and wanting to, you know, participate, not only to attend, but to also help us plan future Trans Pride programming. So it's nice to just kind of see that on the other side and experience it.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, you can also call in. As it does take a lot to run a radio show. So definitely looking forward to more events that, you know, there definitely was a lot of asks, a lot of inquiries in reference to other things we'll be doing. So I think that that's really a fun thing, you know. It wasn't broke, so it didn't need to be fixed, but we just add a little bit of sugar into it and it just became a little bit sweeter. So I think that was really cool. And the Moxie this year at the Pride, the Trans Pride after party, seemed like a really nice elevated event. So, you know?
Yeah. I think it's also been like a really great opportunity to collaborate with other organizations that are, right? I mean, to me, like personally, when I think of Pride season in the Washington, D.C. area, it really starts during May, you know, when we kick off Trans Pride, because, you know, following Trans Pride are all of the other organizations, you know, Pride festivities and event. And I think this year we really wanted to kind of think of like, how do we continue to elevate the programmings that we do for Trans Pride? And part of that is partnering with other organizations. So this year, right, you know, we have the DC Safe Haven, who organized a Trans Pride ball, you know, on the Friday eve of, like, mm-hmm. you know, on Trans Pride. And then another collective host from Inside Out Radio have their Black Joy Disco, right, you know, which is an event that centers our community as well. So it's nice to see that there are activities and engagement that are happening, catering to our community, not just during, you know, Trans Pride that Saturday, but the entire weekend. And then it just kind of kicks off to, like, you know, Black Pride, which we'll talk about, you know, Asian American Pride that we're going to talk about, Latinx Pride, and then, of course, you know, DC Pride Parade and Festival. So we have a lot to recap for tonight, right?
Yes, we do. So we're going to go ahead and take us a short break. And then when we come back, we'll talk about all the layers of the Pride just for the nostalgia. So we'll see you. We'll have you listen back Inside Out in just a moment.
Just for me.
All right. And you are made for us, listeners, tonight with Inside Out. We are back. Bianca Twin, where have you been?
Right.
Yes, you know,
you guys can see us, right? You know, we're just like jamming into the song. I think we have to do some kind of like behind the scenes show so people okay. know what we're doing behind the scenes.
Just a little moment there. You know, we have to put on the Moody Long and the Mariah Carey remix Made for Me, because once Mariah jumped on it, you know, it was like everything needed.
Exactly.
So, you know, I get into it. Everybody who's listened knows. But anyway, so all of the different prides. So we have trans pride, then we get into Black pride, then we get into Latinx, then we get into the Asian Pacific, and then it jumps into the Will and Grace version. But then sure enough, you know, no shade, no tea. But sure enough, you know, this year, I definitely felt more immersed in a lot of the different ones. I never had ventured out too much into other ones. So it was really, really neat to be asked to host the Latinx event, the rodeo, Lasso de Love. That was pretty cool. The proceeds went to help the Latinx History Project and the LGBTQ Community Center. And of course, yours truly, Trans Pride DC. So it was neat. I mean, you know, it kind of took a little moment to get it together, but, you know, I think the opportunity was really great and, you know, something that, you know, we came up with and created for Trans Pride, you know, segued to something else. And, you know, I thought that was really kind of cool. So, you know, I'm going to start having to monetize after this year, though. So this last year, people go, get me this way. Okay. So
That's right.
We got to talk about it. Well, Well, I was just going to say, it's funny because I know, like, you know, we're always giving the awards away and we're giving the awards. And, you know, you and I have cleaned up pretty well over the years. I will say we have cleaned up, you know, some of the same we've had and everything else. And I think, you know, the biggest one was definitely, you know, the Washington Business Journal for the both of us in the sense, because that crosses over to something just not within the community. You know, it's more so out where it's just everybody. And, you know, the Business Journal is the Business Journal. So, you know, if you do business, if you do things like that, that is definitely a very high honor. And so definitely hitting the covers of that is so cool. So, I mean, I don't know, I know certain people get into, you know, panel work and things like that. And I guess maybe how I did start with volunteering with the chamber, I kind of felt like I always had to work to break down barriers so long that there was a sense of always feeling very like just fortunate to be doing it, not really recognizing what I was doing within doing it and what was being created and what had occurred in the time I was there. Still to this day, I see remnants of really positive change, which is amazing. So shout out to ECCDC for, you know, continuing a lot of the hard work people have done over the years to create equality in the community within business, because a lot of times when we talk about pride, we talk about the community, you know, people think party, people think, you know, different kinds of things. They act like it won't work except for if we're a designer or, you know, fashion connoisseur, but, you know, there is definitely more that we do. So it's pretty cool. And, you know, I definitely look forward to inquiring more on that per your advice, Bianca. So
that's right. Well, I will say, and I've shared this with you already, I mean, you did a great job in, you know, hosting the Latinx History Project event on Saturday at the Howard Theater. And I think to your point, you know, this is really, when you're talking about community, which we, you know, we talked about a lot just because of like the work that we're doing. I think that's a great example of, you know, collaborating with other community organizers and community leaders to, you know, do things, whether it could be hosting or, you know, coordinating or putting together a workshop or other ways, you know, that we can kind of cross collaborate into a lot of the work that we're doing. Because, you know, we also have to think about not only the diversity of our community, but also the intersectionalities of our identities, right? Mm-hmm. It's a really great way to just kind of intersect all of those identities that we have. You know, you mentioned the Equality Chamber of Commerce, which you didn't share, and I'm so proud to share it as the first trans president of the chamber. You certainly have done an amazing job in, you know, uplifting the organization, and of course have left your mark in putting together a lot of, you know, amazing opportunity. And to your point of like, are still being used even today, you know, even past your tenure. So, and I think that's a really great way of just, you know, embedding ourselves into the community that, you know, we are a member of and that we love, because we know the importance of those opportunities for us, mm-hmm. right? You know, I was looking for those opportunities when I was going through my transition. You have similar experiences, mm-hmm. you know, in your personal experiences, and being able to just kind of see, you know, what are some of those things that are happening, and being able to connect is, I think for me, is a great thing to just kind of continue to support our community in ways that we can, you know, we can support them.
And I definitely want to touch on that too, because, you know, definitely going out and seeing Pride and being involved in different organizations, you know, there's some people that have a lot of opportunities. And when we look at, you know, the trans community and the fight that, you know, the fight is the fight, you know, acceptance, you know, visibility, sometimes not wanting to be so visible, you know, there's so much that goes back and forth. And, you know, over these past few weeks, I really realized the difference of wanting to do things for the community and wanting to actually create things in the community and respecting mm-hmm. the community versus, you know, I mean, there's a lot of visitors to the community. There's a lot of people that jump in just for, you know, the party, or they want to be seen, or, you know, things like that. And there's a difference there. And there's a level of where we have people that are like legacy leaders, where, you know, they're involved in everything and whatever. And I'm not saying they always have the best choices of what they do, you know, personally. But, you know, I feel like when it comes to definitely the difference is when I feel you are in the trans binary, there is still that glass ceiling of where you have to be and be seen, because even within our own community, we have to work really hard to do the same thing. And, you know, some people do take that for granted. So for people who want to volunteer and be in the community essence and stuff, just remember, respect it, respect people's work that they've done before too, because there's a lot of people before Bianca and I, before whatever, mm-hmm. like we always talk about Savannah, there was something she went through in order to create something that now we have been able to take and, you know, just kind of keep putting gas in it and, you know, maybe some new paint and make it look a little different. But the core of the reason is still the same. And, you know, there's a lot of things that people exploit about the different communities. And, you know, that is why a lot of times we don't have a lot of progress, just to be very honest. So be careful about that. But when it comes to the Asian Pacific Islander Prides, what is the difference of that? Like, what do you find as you go to those events? What do you find the difference is than the other events?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I think I can almost, you know, kind of extend that to other Pride organizations, at least in the Washington, D.C. area, right? Because, you know, as we're talking about all the prides that have happened, and we're recapping our personal experiences and the past couple of months. You know, we even shared, you know, we're going to recap all of this pride activities from pride organizers, right? You know, we have trans pride, we have Black pride, we have Asian American pride, we have Latinx pride, and then, of course, DC Pride Parade. I think the difference is not necessarily on the programming or the events that are being held, right? I think there's a lot of like similarities on some of the programmings or events, because whether it could be educational opportunity to learn about the history of the organization or even network, like, you know, there's still that like social aspect of it. And I think what's different is, at least in the Washington DC area, there's members of our community who, you know, feels like they don't see themselves represented in other Pride organizations, mm-hmm. right? Or they feel that there is a unique experience that members of our, you know, Asian American and Native Hawaiian Pacific Islander communities experience that may not be visible in other Pride organizers. And that's the same thing for our Pride organizations, you know, being trans Pride, and it's the same thing for Latinx and Black Pride, et cetera, right? So I think that's the difference of why we're having all of this Pride organizations that are kind of celebrating, you know, members of the community and allies, right? You know, I mean, I think it's important that we bring in our allies into all of these spaces, because we do have amazing allies who have, you know, walked with us, you know, stood by us, but, you know, on our side. And we wanted to also celebrate and honor that, because there's also learning for them and learning for us, you know, to really think of like what does being an ally and allyship and a true ally really means, right? What would that look like? That may be different, right? You know, from like an individual perspective, but there's also like the larger definition of being an ally and being an allyship. So I think, you know, the difference is it centers the members of the community that, you know, may feel or may not see themselves represented in other Pride, so they can also, you know, live their authentic self and highlight some of the cultures, you know, that celebrates not only their identity, but who they are as individuals.
Yeah, no, and that's definitely true. And, you know, I feel like we have definitely such a mixed board. It's so awesome. And, you know, having that, I feel like it just unifies everything, you know, that way, because we all are different, like mixtures and nationalities, and, you know, we do different kind of, you know, careers, and, you know, people's partnerships are very ambiguous and different too. So it's pretty cool to see. And definitely, you know, with allies, you know, I feel like it's more so of like, don't just come up and like, you know, like trash the house, like respect the house, be a good citizen in the house, you know, don't come in and make a mess, because you have more spaces to just make mess. And see, that's my biggest thing about it. It's just like, don't come up in here acting like that, because we already do that ourselves, you know? So, and you see a lot of that too, because I'm just like, okay, that's cool, that's cute, but calm it down. You know, like don't push over the drag queen, don't, you know, do all this stuff, or, you know, don't be awkward or whatever. So there is different versions of allyship, and, you know, respecting again people the way that we see them as well, because that's why you're coming into it. So you know, I mean, it's cool. And then, you know, we have the that, like I said, the Will and Grace Pride, where it's, you know, it is the pride everybody knew. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you answered a lot in the last question about why we do have different prides, because people have asked, why does it have to be this pride or that pride or whatever?
Yeah.
And just like in life, inclusivity is what people are working on, and it's uplifting, cultivating, and creating. I feel like it creates that stream of also revenue development within your own community. Because that's how we build up our own communities. So, you know, it does take a layer off of the prejudice, because within our community, people don't realize that, no, not everybody is kumbaya, and people have their own experiences, whether their gender identities or whatever. But how you were raised, what you've seen, what you're accustomed to, does not always make you just like this open person. Some people have their own queer, gay, by whatever you want to say, journey that is just about them and their journey. Not everybody is in unison, and I feel like that's why people don't really always get all of that. And there was a question, do you feel like, from one of our listeners, do you feel like the acronyms are getting out of hand?
Yeah,
darling.
Do I feel like it's getting out of hand? Interesting. I personally don't think so. Now, you know, I say that because I think, you know, what we have now and what we currently use, at least for me personally, still makes sense. And I think it's also very fluid, you know. I mean, generations have come up to us where they, you know, have their identity that they discovered or who they are that feel like they're not represented. And I think that's part of like why we're recreating or we're evolving into the acronyms, you know, that we have for the LGBTQ community. And we've seen it and we've heard it in many different ways on people, you know, have said that. And I think it really is about just feeling included, right? You know, feeling a sense of community, because I've still heard people just say LGBT, you know, I've heard LGBTQ plus, you know, LGBTQIA and so on. And I think it's just a sense of like feeling included, because for so many of us, certainly for me, speaking on my own experiences, you know, when I didn't know anything about, you know, the T and the LGBTQ and the LGBTQ plus community, I didn't know where I kind of fit in, you know, within the community. Mm-hmm. I've always known that I was very flamboyant, you know, before I transitioned. I gravitate towards, you know, more feminine things, whether it could be clothing, accessories, etc. You know, a lot of my friends are, you know, female identifying, but I still didn't feel like I really do belong in the G in our LGBTQ community. So when I found out and learned a little bit more about the T in our community, everything, all of the boxes is just checkmark for me. And I think it's that sense of like being included or being part of like the larger community. That's why we're evolving into our acronyms as well. Yeah.
Our own alphabet.
What's your thoughts? I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
I think that we should all come to the table and come up with like a word. I think that what it is it's not necessarily that. I don't think it's about the amount of letters. I think to what your point was before, some people say a shorter version, some people add the Q and the A. I think it's when people get upset. I think everything is based on people's irritability, right? So I always talk about like fairness of people who aren't as educated or don't read a script with all these acronyms each week or every day, or what's my pronoun, your pronoun. You know, not everybody is so versed. And if you can show a little compassion that not everybody is so in that, you know, washing machine, okay, then I think it'd be a little bit better in general. I don't think it's too much. I think that, you know, the more people are represented, it creates more knowledge. I've definitely learned over the years about more. I mean, I've had exes that, you know, I've been able to even give them an understanding of their identities too, because of that education. You're welcome. But the thing is, I say, and I think about that question, you said T, right? But anyway, so the point is, you know, do know that I was able to educate myself because I also want to, but mm-hmm. I don't feel like it's everybody's job. I just don't feel like they should also go around being ignorant either. So there's options there. But I mean, you know, in the end, I feel like there's a lot of debate on who should be in the community, right? Because there are people that are gay and lesbian who are like, no, you know, now, you know, trans people necessarily don't, and you know, all these things. And I feel like for those people, they have to understand it's more of an umbrella for protection of mindset and the ability to grow within a home base versus necessarily what people's mindsets are that identify as something different. Because yes, when you're trans, I feel like the argument is when you're trans doesn't you transition to a different gender, that doesn't necessarily make you gay or lesbian. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that's where a lot of the argument is, right? Do I really even belong there as a trans person? And do they want me there? And like I said, I just feel like it's a great starting point for safety. And the umbrella helps shield a lot of things. So I do feel like we're a part of the community that way, because things change over time. You don't wake up, like everybody likes to believe, at 4 and knowing all of your transition journey. Sometimes you just like pink. And that is going to segue to another question after a short break with the wonderful Ariana Grande.
I don't care what people say. Both know I couldn't change you. I guess you could say the same. Can't be the range. Truth, I've never seen someone lie like you do. So much even you start to think it's true. Ooh, get me out of this loop. Yeah. So now we play our separate scenes.
Back with Inside Out. I'm one of your hosts, Mimi Hunt, with my beautiful co-host, Bianca.
Hello, hello. We're back.
Yes. And we are feeling good with the Pride 2024. So now there was another listener question. Some of these were kind of deep, so we're going to kind of like go through a little bit of...
Yeah.
we'll save some for another time. Do you think there are any issues within the community that may raise any red flags or be perceived as a red flag from those outside the community that needs to be addressed?
How will you answer that first?
I think I'm always addressing things. You're probably tired of me.
I would love to hear your thoughts on that. So kick us off, Morgan.
You know, I think, you know, to each their own, right? I mean, debauchery is debauchery and people are going to be people. I think a lot of times what is promoted is a rebellious version of visual. And that comes from people feeling that they are oppressed on top of natural oppression, possibly for people that are of race or different things or come from different backgrounds. And so it's kind of like you want to just rip yourself out of the plastic and act brand new. And you actually can witness this with people that are newer in the community. Because it seems like, oh, it's a little taste of something. Then it's like, now they're partying, now they're doing these things. And I do tend to say to people who are newer in the community, just like any community, there is your amazing uplifting roots that you can do certain things in it. Party lightly, heavy at times, but enjoy things and maybe possibly volunteer for the best benefit or just appreciate those who do. Or you can find yourself in those stories where, you know, it's not always such a great guiding light. There can be negativity around you. You can create negativity within your reputation and visual. So you have to be very careful because it's a slippery slope quickly. And unfortunately, certain people get more attention because of the negativity. So a lot of times in the Pride events, there's a lot of fun, festive, wonderful things you're seeing. And then, yes, there are more of a, what we'll say, burlesque moment that can happen. And I think that as I've sat down and actually thought about this because of a lot of these rants that you see about, why does everybody have to be nude? Or why do you have to do this? And I just think people just feel liberated. And I feel like they just feel that is the best version of their expression. Maybe it's not always the best on a float. Yes, people should be mindful of the audience that is around, but in a way, it's known now. You know what I mean? It's known now. You know, you can go to certain Cirque du Soleil's and you know that those contortionists are going to be maybe painted in all paint, body paint, a lot of visuals there. So do you want to take your kid to that? And some people don't, you know, because they know. Certain drag shows, no, if it's not for kids. You know, dressed up like Mary Poppins, that I feel like that's more of like a costume if you're going to be reading to folks. I don't know. This is a big debate too. I really feel like it's liberation. I feel like there is a place and a time and, you know, that would be the call out, I guess. Just be mindful of certain things because your pride doesn't necessarily need to be everybody's pride. And you want to make sure that you're reading the room because you don't want to create danger for yourself or other individuals who you might be with that don't get to walk in the sunshine as much as you do. So that would be my take.
Yeah, no, that's a really great insight, Morgan. And it got me thinking, you know, thinking of like the questions that our listeners have asked. I think it's also two aspects of it. Like, you know, when we wanted to really ask this question of like red flags, right? I think there's like the community aspect of it, and then there's like individual aspect of it, right? Because, you know, what might be a red flag for me as a person may not be the red flag for you or for somebody else. Because to your point, you know, depending on where we are in our transition journey, there's a sense of like liberation of being free and being who ourselves. And it allows for us to be more confident to really accept and own who you are, right? And accepting and liberating yourself on being your authentic self is different for me, and it's different for you, and it's different for somebody else's, right? So I think there's that like individual aspect of like, okay, what are those red flags, right? And then there's the community aspect where it not only affects one individual in the community, but it's the larger community. So you kind of have to also think about what would this, how would this impact, right, the larger community? And I think when we're thinking about the larger community, we have to really be mindful, especially if, you know, you're the organizers or, you know, you have a voice within the community, to really think of like, how do we want it to kind of share a message or engage in conversation and stuff like that, right? Obviously, it's still the individual's opinion, but then it's at the same time, because of the voice and the power of the voice that an individual have, it does affect the larger community, right? You know, so I think what that could be is, first and foremost, it's never going to be black and white, right? Mm-hmm. No, it's not this or that, right? Because within our larger community, there's a lot of like aspect that we have to consider as well. But I think if we're talking about, let's say, for example, safety in our space, in our spaces, I think it is situational, but then at the same time, it's also about, okay, how is this impacting not only the individual or the group of individuals, but the events or the program itself, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's impacting the rest of the community, then it becomes more of like a problem, right? Because it's not just one person anymore or a group of people anymore. Now it's like the entire, a larger community member. Mm-hmm. And it, when that happens, then something has to be done, you know, whether it could be addressing it, you know, one-on-one, whatever the situation may be, obviously is going to be addressed differently. But I think if we're thinking of those red flags from a perspective of like our community and the larger community, there's a lot more to think about, because it's not just affecting the people that are probably part of it or being engaged in it, but it's the larger community.
Yeah. I mean, everything is unfortunately based on like biases, right? So,
yeah,
you know, sure. we have been probably very, what would you say, desensitized to certain things that other people can come be like, oh my goodness, you know. And to me, I mean, I feel like I've seen a lot, you know, and that's why sometimes, you know, I try and pee people to stuff, but they don't want to listen. And so whatever that ends up, then that's them. But, you know, it, because it's like, you know, some people really do not understand when you bring people into the community, it's like, you want to try and give some rules. You want to try and have people understand, you know, just like, you know, you go to a certain kind of party or whatever, you want to be like, hey, watch out for this, you know, think about that, you did it, because you want to have a great time, a good time. And, you know, some people that can't help them. So, you know, I think unfortunately that can fall on people who have been in the community, have done the work or work on themselves, because some people just want attention and you can't help attention seekers. And that's what blows up, because, you know, like the person at the White House, that influencer trans woman, you know, the trans men were, you know, showing, oh, whatever. But now that, but, you know, the trans men were showing that they are now, you know, having pectorals, right? So it's like, oh, I'm a man now. I can finally liberate myself by taking my shirt off. Well, her as a trans woman, you know, you were messing up, because, you know, you can't jump back and forth just because, and then say, oh, it's people want to be upset with me because, you know, now I'm a woman and, you know, I'm exposing my breasts on the White House lawn. I don't think so. So it's like, don't do that. Like you ruin it for everybody, because you want to make that about you, and you wanted somebody to look at you, you know, and to me, that's the problem, because then there's someone like you or I who, you know, get that type of treatment from, you know, men who want to associate with us, that, oh, well, I saw them doing it, and then that's what it is. And my only view of, you know, trans folks is doing that. So it's like, you do have to be careful. Those are red flags. But again, those are personal things. Unfortunately, I feel like that is a greater effect to personally the trans community, is certain people's actions, because we do get grouped in. Because to be honest, not a lot of people know a trans person unless you're like seeking it out, or, you know, going to places where they may be, and, you know, where we may be, whatever. So I feel like that impacts our community more, just for some reason. Like, just to be very honest, that is like an isolated opinion, because we don't get a lot of do-overs. And unfortunately, like I said, a woman at the White House, you know, I don't remember if they had one this year, you know, again, Did they have Pride at the White House?
And I think that's, what I kind of shared, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Like individual impact, and they're just like the community impact, right? You know, because then it affects other members of our community, right? You know, it may not affect them or they may not see it, but you know, what was the impact of that and what was the effect of that from a larger community perspective, you know?
So. And that's why they're individuals, you know, and I think that maybe that's the point, is that as the acronyms grow, as people are getting more involved in it, it's not just that anymore. So it's a lot of individuals, you know, and that's why, you know, you need to let people live their life and be who they are, because we can't always take the hit just because, you know, somebody says I identify as this genre. So, you know, that, I don't know, I feel like that's messy. And so we've come to know that gender is a social construct, but race is as well. Why do you think it is so easy for people to accept one notion over the other?
Is it? I mean, I feel like who you're talking to, and you know, what would that look like for us? I think it goes into what you shared already, which is around biases, right? You know, we all have our own biases, right? And this is nothing we can, you know, it's something that we can't solve, right? You know, biases is something that's part of who we are as human being, right? You know, if you have a brain, you have a bias, you know, that's what they're saying. And it's part of who we are. And a lot of those biases, you know, come from either society, what we're seeing in social media, and it even goes as far back as like your culture and your values, like grew up, you know, like depending where you are, if you're from here, if you're from another country or whatsoever. And then obviously the culture aspect of it, you know, plays along with that. I think where a lot of people and a lot of conversation are happening is because so many of us still, one, doesn't understand that we all have our biases, right? And then second, it's like, we don't know kind of like how to manage them, because we've been kind of taught of like, if you say something or if you do something, that's wrong, right? And stuff like that. There's no opportunity to kind of either evolve from that, or opportunity to just kind of learn from that moment of mistake or challenge that you have. So I think, you know, again, it's one of those things that is like very complex, so you can't really lean on one or the other. I mean, both of them just kind of has like connection to it, right? Because again, it goes back to like our identity and our intersection. You know, I am trans, Asian American, immigrant from the Philippines, you know, citizen, right? So there's so many aspects of my identity, and I'm brown, right? So there's so many aspects of my identity that, you know, can create a lot of like conversation and complexity. But if people just kind of assume that, and the only thing they heard is like, I'm trans, then they're going to start making assumptions of like, who am I as a trans person? You know, they're not going to either listen or learn a little bit more about like my profession, the work that I do in the community, you know, the network and the opportunity to collaborate and partner with other people, because based on their own biases of what society is telling them, being trans is not a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, oh, well, eloquently said, actually, like, amazing. But and to add to that, I think it's because it's kind of like the cherry on top of the sundae. It's like, oh, you're this, but you happen to be this too. And, you know, and I honestly, I want to say that I think that a lot of times it's not even people that are seeing bad things. I think there can be a majority of people that have biases, but I think there's a big majority that have, like, you know, good understanding of things and are accepting and are coming into things. I think, unfortunately, when it comes to like trans issues and things like that, you know, men who see trans women or date trans women don't do right by them. So the point is, if you're seeing it in this way, and those are the people that are going to work each day, those are the people not saying anything when they're around their friends or family or whatever, you know, then the first thing to say is maybe something negative or shoot it down because they can't live their own authentic life. It really comes like that. It's come through the LGBTQ community like that for ever, you know? So it's like, if you can't be, then sometimes you shut it down because you know you aren't wanting to live your life that way and do the work. Because it's one thing to say you're something, but to grow as something, be respected as something is totally different. So, you know, I don't know. I think that, you know, gender is really hard when it comes to, you know, people in normalcy anyway. When you throw the trans into it, the non-binary into it, you know, some of it's newer understanding, and a lot of it's been around it's all been around for a very long time, you know, since the beginning too. But people don't want to know that, and they don't want to believe that, because then there's nobody to, well, bully. So, you know, that's what I think it comes down to. I don't think people really care that much. I think they're just made to care, because if they don't care, there's an issue with them for some reason. And I just don't get that. Why you care so much? Let me laugh. Well, anyway, well, I guess we can leave them with, I don't know her, so please don't tell me nothing. All right, well, we are at the wrap up of our show. Bianca and I will definitely be on next month, I believe the 8th of July. We are on every Monday of the month at 6 p.m. It is always a pleasure to...
Equal Portions is delighted to join Jazz and Justice Radio, WPFW, every Monday at 1 p.m. beginning August 5th. We're talking everything food justice, interviewing folks across all sectors, and playing the hottest new DMV music with your host, Sasha Lamira.
Hey, y'all. On Equal Portions, we'll be discussing all aspects of the way we interact with food, from the problems affecting our communities to the history and the story of the food around us and the local individuals within the food community. That's Equal Portions, Mondays at 1 p.m. on WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Greetings, WPFW is pleased to announce the relaunch of our major donor program, now known as the Jazz and Justice Circle. If you gave $1,000 last year or so far this year, you are automatically enrolled in this cherished group of listener members, and we thank you. Benefits of your membership are at wpfwfm.org under the Support Us tab at the top of the homepage is the Jazz and Justice Circle. Interested in joining this select group? Please consider a donation of $1,000 or more online at wpfwfm.org. Your donation helps WPFW build a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Hi, this is Miyuki. Thanks to all who contributed to or are thinking about contributing to WPFW's Relocation Fund. Your very generous donations are what make WPFW possible. Your continued support keeps us alive. Special thanks to Joyce and James Kilgore, who made it possible for our 125 Ellington Thank You gift to be available. Detailed information at WPFWFM.org. Thanks to Gloria Turner for feeding our phone volunteers. Thanks to all who work together to help WPFW build a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Brazilian music is back in its righteous place on WPFW. I'm your host, Roberto, and Berimbau airs on Sundays, 8 to 10 p.m. Are you ready to take a trip from Rio Grande do Sul to Amazon and back? That's Berimbau, Sundays, 8 to 10 p.m. on WPFW. Building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Dab returns to WPFW beginning Monday, July 29th, 2 a.m. till 5 a.m. with music memories, the best of old school from the 50s, 60s, and 70s. Yes, the return of Alvin Nedab on 89.3 WPFW FM, Monday, July 29th, 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
African Diaspora International Film Festival and Africa World Now Project host the 17th Annual African Diaspora International Film Festival, D.C., August 2nd to the 4th.